You look in your Bible, one verse had this message for a few days, and I think it's a very interesting message. It's in a different vein than what I might normally preach. Of course, most things I probably preach are in a different vein, but this especially in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, walking worthy, walking worthy. He said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Now, I read a quote by Martin Luther, and this incredible quote for me. He said, Paul said, "I am therefore the prisoner of the Lord." And Luther said, "I am captive of the Word of God." He said, "I can do no other. Here I stand. I'm captive of the Lord. I can do no other. Here I stand." Paul declared, "I therefore the prisoner of the Lord." In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, we're told, "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Captives, prisoners, children of light. So if Christ came into the world to save sinners, where are you? If Christ came in the world, where are you? If you feign to fill your belly with the hogs, with the huss of the hogs, where are you? If you were blind, but now you see, where are you? He's asking the vocation wherewith you're called. If these things have occurred in your life, if you're captured in Christ, where are you? Are you with the children of light, or are you vexed with the conversation of the wicked as Lot? Lot, you remember, two angels had to drag him from Sodom. Is Christ not enough to free you from this bondage? And we're told, remember Lot's wife. Many years ago, I can say that somehow I sought the Lord. But in reality, it was he who found me. He wasn't lost, I was, you see. It was him all along, even before the world began. I was elect in the Lord before the world began. And those who believe that they found God also believe, listen, those, and I hear this all the time, it's popular in religion and such, believe they found God, but those that believe they found God also believe that they control the actions of that God. One shall never truly know God until they know that it was he who found them. And most have a God of their own mind. Oh, I found God. Yeah, you found God in your mind. And that God does what you tell him to do. The proof of God's love to me is not that I found him, but that he found me. I didn't die for him. He died for me. He wasn't lost. I was. Where are you? So now here we are. We claim Christ. And we claim not only God, we claim to be in Christ. We claim Christ in us. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. The Bible says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Do you see that? Now, this is a very practical statement, because this concerns, and if you read in context, Paul's talking about our physical body. There's a physical body, and there is a spiritual body. And I occupy both. If you're in Christ, you occupy both. Well, they all do, but it may not be Christ's spirit. Somehow today in religion, very little is spoken of the physical or the physical body. Everything is sort of, you might say, allegorical spoken of. And I think that's dangerous to an extent, because what happens, the Bible itself can become an allegory. But it wasn't allegorical when Christ died on that cross. And it wasn't allegorical when he came out of the womb of a virgin named Mary, you see. It was physical. Matter of fact, the belief in that physical birth and death, burial, and physical resurrection is the very basis of the belief that Christ is who that he was. So somehow today in religion, very little is spoken of the physical. We tend to spiritualize everything, and usually for our benefit or excuse. No, you know the flesh, man. You all have heard these things, okay? For our excuse, you see. And yet it's the physical in which you and I live and dwell on this earth and are together at this hour. We're all physically here. That's why we have these chairs in this building. Our body, our physical body, which if you're in Christ, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You ladies, you spend all your day caring for the physical, the baby, you see. You clean a physical house, it won't get done spiritually. You clean a you prepare physical meals. If we all just sat around and said, well, let's just have a spiritual meal, somebody's going to be hungry, you see. You wash physical laundry. Almost everything we do in this world is physical. We dwell in a physical, material world. And when God put Adam, he put him in a physical, not a spiritual, garden. And he put him there to what?
Tend it.
To tend that garden. It took physical effort and exertion. You see, in the flesh, the physical flesh. Now let me ask you, are we not, the Bible doesn't it say that we're fearfully and wonderfully made? Is he talking, is that spiritual? No. It's physical, you see. Are we not created, the Bible says, in the image, the very image of God? How would you, how would we even know there be a God if not for our physical existence in this world? And he placed us here. And he created these physical beings, you see, this life. And he breathed into us the breath of life. And of such importance is it that he sent his only begotten Son, not spiritually, but physically, into this world to live and be tempted in every like manner as you and I, so that he might save us. And he lived and he died physically. He suffered an awful physical death. And yet all I hear preached is spiritual. What about physical? I think sometimes that religious people or so-called professing Christian people, they use this thing as an excuse to shirk responsibility. You say, tending. To shirk. A lot of preachers do that. Preachers are the most, and I'd say not famous, infamous for it. I used to preach all the time. They just wear the sheep out. Poor sheep, he's out working all week, and he shows up, and that preacher, he just sits around an office, most of them, or whatever it is they do. And he assigns these sheep all the, and he just wears the sheep out. You see. Paul states in Ephesians 5 that no man, in verse 29, ever what? For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Just made a liar out of all the religious people. But nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. That's physical. He's not talking about a spiritual body there. He's talking about a physical body. He's speaking plain, just the plain truth, you see. Now look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. There's a lot there. I could preach on that for a long, long time. I could just park right there. Stay right there. And there's far more there than I'm at liberty to preach. Okay? Suffice it to say that there is an intimacy involved here that few know. And I'm talking about married people. That few know. Now, they understand the lust of the lost flesh and they go to. But I'm talking about something else here. You see. It concerns men and women and marriage. And Paul speaks of it here, and he also, I've got a message on it, he speaks of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, okay? And I don't wish this morning to be explicit. Hopefully a word to the wise is sufficient. Sadly, most of the marriages that I witness or have witnessed in this long sojourn are, now listen, because this is the lesson, are far too much law instead of grace. That is, it's accomplished, it's built on, it's based on a sense of duty. And don't say it isn't, because it is. Duty, not love. Okay? When Paul and Luther spoke, they spoke of love. A willingness love, not a duty love. Paul says, a prisoner of the Lord. Have you ever been a prisoner of love? How can you be married and not have ever been a prisoner of love and not know what I'm speaking of? A prisoner of love. Not by law, not like some arranged marriage like they we've read of, or like they do in these other, I guess they still do that. You profess to love to please the Lord, do you not? Got in trouble one time. Woman said, You know, well, my Lord tells me, I said, well, if you're married, your Lord's sitting next to you. Don't say that in a Baptist church. Independent, fundamental, King James Bible believing. Tithing and assembling, bearing witness of such. Right? I'm a cheerful giver. No, I like to tithe. It's a blessing for me. I like to assemble. It's a blessing for me. Is it a blessing for you to be a wife? Is it a blessing for you to be a husband? You see? Willfully and not by constraint. Cheerful givers. Looking to please. Physically. I'm talking about a physical body. And yet I don't witness the same in marriage. Not even in our own midst. You know what I witness? Law. If our marriages were churches, they'd be law churches. Every one of them. A sense of duty. There was no duty at the outset. It was very willing, you see. In our walk with Christ, our spouse in marriage. And sometimes this happens, I've watched it happen in religion, and that religion will turn to law. Some of these fundamental churches, before you know it, you look up and you've got more commandments than God had. Well, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and that religion becomes law, that marriage becomes law. And you fulfill these duties because of law and not love. And grace is love, you see. So you've got to be very careful when duty sets in. Bondage? Yes. Prisoner? Yes. But how so? As Luther and Paul? Or as the drudgery of the flesh? By law. Luther said, I can do no other. I can't do anything else. I can do no other. Let's look at one verse. Turn over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 45. I'm not going to read the whole account. You remember Christ went in to eat with a man named Simon. This woman came in. And he told Simon, he said, thou gavest me no kiss. Verse 45. He said, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Now you remember this verse. You remember this verse. Because it's not a spiritual verse. It's a physical verse. Because it's the very essence of what I'm speaking of this morning. She didn't cease to kiss his feet. And this is not a spiritual allegory. And this is not some parable. And they too shall be one flesh. Now don't answer, please. You ladies ever kiss your husband's feet? Do you hear what I'm saying? Abigail said to David's servants, I washed your servant's feet. Had a man tell me he was a Baptist and he went to, I told him about a church and he had traveled over to East Tennessee. I said, there's a church over there I listened to on the radio. I really liked the preacher. He went and visited that church. And they were foot washers. And they had the men come sit on the front row, and they had some men that washed their feet. Y'all don't know anything about that. And if you believe all this is just spiritual that I'm talking about this morning, then you've turned down a road that dead ends into a monastery somewhere. You hear what I'm saying? Perhaps you should go back. I've preached on it. Haven't preached on it in a while. We'll go back and read the Song of Solomon. Greatest love story I've ever read. Greatest love book I've ever read. We are not to defraud one another. Not spiritually. Physically. I don't know if all you, if you know, you don't know this. Like I said, I've got a message on it. I've not preached it. This body doesn't belong to me. Y'all know who it belongs to? Y'all know? It belongs to her. You know that body, her, you know who that belongs to? It belongs to me. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. And we're not any more to defraud one another than we are Christ. I heard an old preacher once say, and it was surprising coming from him if you knew his work and this old hard preacher. He said the most devilish thing a woman can ever do is deny her body to her husband. He wasn't talking about her spiritual body. He was talking about her physical body. It's the most devilish thing that a woman can do. Vashti found that out. Of course, the Baptists preach that different. So, are you coming together by law? I'm asking you. Are you coming together by law? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Perhaps one might wonder, well, how's the Lord treating you? How's the Lord treating you? Are you treating your spouse as the Lord's treating, as the grace you've received? Are you walking worthy? In the flesh, Paul said, the vocation you're called. In the flesh, you see. True religion isn't some mystical journey of nirvana. That's Buddhism and Hinduism and with yoga and the like. You see? And if that's what you're looking for, well, just take drugs. It's a walk of faith. And see that you walk worthy, as Paul reminds us here. Christ said, if you love me, he didn't mean that by law, by the way. If you love me, keep my commandments. But it wasn't like, oh, you have to, it wasn't like that at all. It was like the tithing or the assembling or the, you see. Do you have to read your Bible? Do you have to pray? Christ says, if you love me. Well, if you love me, any of them, show me. You know? Roloff said, don't put any flowers on my grave. You love me, give me flowers now. Flowers for the living. You see? But not by law. True action is always by nature, by desire. Did you know that? That's how you know who the people really are in Christ. It's their nature, it's their desire. And I can do no other. Can you? So Luther said, I can do no other. Here I stand. I can do no other. I started to study. I'm just fresh into it. It's amazing to me when I read the book of Ephesians, and I read the two books to the Corinthians, and I read the book to the Colossians and to the Philippians, and I see these books, and it occurred to me that those churches are dead. Did you know that? These churches in the Bible that we're reading about, that we read in this morning, they're gone. They no longer exist. And if you read in the book of Revelation, you know one of the reasons that what they left their first love. That's why divorce is rampant. They left their first love. You see. Shall we die as these churches? Shall our love die as these churches? Our religion? Our marriages? Shall our love wax cold? That's what he said. I'm older than all of you. I can say that without reservation. Quite a bit. My love for her hadn't waned one bit. Nor my love of Christ. I can do no other. Do you see? I can do no other.